Jesus shed for me. Way back on Calvary, it's the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power.
It reaches to the highest mountain. It flows.
Calms my fears and it dries all my tears. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power.
It reaches to the high.
Precious Son was sent from above, and His name was Jesus. He was given in love, bridging the gap that was caused by our sin, and only His blood could reach where fallen men. Precious is the blood that began at Calvary, flowing still today for a sinner like me. Washed in His blood, my sins are not seen. When God looks at me, He sees me clean.
There's a line that's been drawn through the ages. On that line stands the old rugged cross. On that cross, a battle is raging for the gain of man's soul or his loss. On one side march the forces of evil, all the demons and devils of hell. On the other, the angels of glory, and they meet on Golgotha's hill. The earth shakes with the force of the conflict. The sun refuses to shine, for there hangs God's Son in the balance. And then through the darkness he cries,
"It is finished, the battle."
Yet in my heart the battle was raging. Not all prisoners of war had come home. You see, there were battlefields of my own making. I didn't know that the war had been won. Then I heard the old story. Then I heard that the King of the ages had fought all life's battles for me. And victory was mine for the claiming. And now, praise his name, I am free.
Savannah makes fun of me. I've only got one speed, and that's wide open. But to my college and career class, y'all are going to get an extended version of what y'all got this morning, and I'm not going to apologize for it. I begged God. I had studied when Pastor Brian asked me to if I could preach tonight. I began studying, and the Lord, well, I took myself to the book of Ruth, chapter number 1, and I was studying through the book of Ruth, and I might hit a little bit of that tonight. But that's not where the Lord has us tonight. The Lord said, "I don't care if you taught it this morning or not. I want you to preach that thought to the church tonight." But Joshua chapter number 9 in your Bibles, this is one of my favorite books of the Bible. I love the book of Joshua. It's packed with a lot of different things that we could apply to our life. And I'm so thankful for the many blessings that we can gain from the Word of God. And so listen, I'll say this, I say this to my class often, you need to read your Bibles because you'll learn. And we need to learn, because not only need to learn, but that's how we communicate with the Lord Jesus Christ. You can pray all day long, but if you ain't reading your Bible, you ain't going to hear from the Lord. Because the Lord doesn't come to us in dreams and visions anymore. He comes to us and speaks to us through this holy word of God tonight. But I'm going to read in verse number one tonight. If you found your place, I would ask you to stand to your feet tonight for the reverence of God's word. And I ask you to pray for me, because I don't think I've ever been this nervous. I don't know why I'm so nervous, but I guess it's a good thing that I'm still nervous when I get behind the pulpit. But I would ask you for prayers, because there are some words in here that I might screw up. But let's begin reading in Joshua chapter number 9, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, when all the kings which were on this side Jordan, in the hills and the valleys, and in all the coasts of the great sea over against Lebanon, the Hittite and the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, the Jebusite heard thereof, that they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, they did work willingly and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their asses, and wine bottles old and rent and bound up, and old shoes, and clouted upon their feet, and garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua unto the camp of Gilgal, and said unto him and to the men of Israel, We be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, Peradventure ye dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you? And they said unto Joshua, We are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, Who are ye? And from whence come ye? And verse number 9 says, And they said unto him, From a very far country thy servants are come, because of the name of the Lord thy God. For we have heard the fame of him, and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, to Sihon, the king of Heshbon, and to Og, king of Bashan, and which was at Ashtaroth. Verse number 11 says, Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, Take victuals with you for the journey, and go meet them, and say unto them, We are your servants, therefore now make ye a league with us. Verse number 12 says, This our bread we took hot for our provision out of our houses on the day which we came forth to go unto you. But now behold, it is dry and it is moldy. And these bottles of wine which were filled were new, and behold, they be rent. And these are our garments, and our shoes are now become old by reason of a very long journey. Let's pray tonight. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that you allowed us to be gathered in your house. Lord, I'm thankful for the opportunity once more to stand behind this sacred desk and share your holy word of God. Lord, I ask you to get my nerves out of the way. Lord, I ask you to use me tonight. Lord, I'm worth nothing. And Lord, this would all be in vain unless you help me tonight. I cannot do this on my own. Lord, I ask you to be in the midst of us tonight. Lord, this is, again, would all be pointless and in vain if you're not in the midst of us tonight. Lord, I ask you to help the hearts that may be struggling, this lost souls that may be on their way to hell. But Lord, most of all, we need you here with us tonight. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Like I said a moment ago, we've been going through a series in our Sunday school class on kind of giving pointers and tips of the plan of salvation, and kind of a soul winning series in our class. I like to do that periodically to kind of refresh our minds. And I'm going to steal a quote from Pastor Brian. He says, if we can sing hymns over and over again, we can preach the Word of God as many times as we want to. And listen, to my Sunday school class, I'm not going to apologize, but I want you to listen. Even though you might have heard some of this morning, I want you to listen again, because you might have missed something this morning. But when we go through our lives, and like I said, I'm going to give you some context in just a minute, but There's a few things that I see in these verses that I want to kind of give application to tonight, but I want to give you some context first. And like I said, Joshua is one of my favorite books of the Bible. It's just jam-packed with different things that we can apply to our life. If we look back at Joshua chapter number 1, we see that Joshua was referenced as Moses' minister, which you could or interpret as kind of like Moses' assistant. We could we go back into the book of Exodus and all the different books of our Bibles, and we see where Moses and Joshua is a perfect picture of how a young preacher should undershadow a seasoned man of God. Listen, I'm the youngest preacher in here. I don't know anything. I've just now started to scratch the surface, and I'll never be able to get to the bottom of it. But I'll tell you this, if I would have not found some of the seasoned men of God that I have in my life, I wouldn't be who I am today, and I'm thankful for each of them. But if we look at Joshua chapter number 2, we can look at the great story that is where Rahab the harlot, and we see the story of that scarlet thread, about how that she hung that scarlet thread out of her window. Joshua chapter number 3, we see Joshua and the children of Israel. That's the crossing of the Jordan River. Joshua chapter number 4, we see the 12 stones that they put in place as a memorial of what God did for the children of Israel. Chapter number 5, we see that circumcision is renewed. Chapter number 6, we see the battle of Jericho. Chapter number 7, this is where Achan is stoned, and the screw up of Achan and him hiding stuff in his tent, and that he had no business hiding. But here we get into the book of chapter number 8. We find the battle of Ai. But like I said, here we go into chapter number 10. And we see this group of people in the first part of this chapter. They gathered things together and went to Joshua. Now, I want to make sure we understand context tonight. Like I said, this is going to be an application message, like Pastor Brian's been preaching through the book of Nehemiah about how those gates were literal gates and how they were literal gates on that city. This was literal things tonight. We're just going to use it as an application. But we look in verse number 11, it says, "Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, Take victuals with you for the journey, and go up to meet them, and say unto them, We are your servants, therefore now make ye league with us. This our bread we took hot for our provision out of our houses on the day which we came forth to go unto you. But now behold, it is dry and moldy. And these bottles of wine which were filled were new, and behold, they be rent. And these, our garments and our shoes, are become old by reason of a very long journey." But listen, this is this groups here, these groups of different groups, the Hivites and all these ones, came unto Joshua and they lied blatantly to his face. If you look back at the first part of this chapter, it says in verse number 4, it says, "They did work willingly and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their ashes, and wine bottles old and rent and bound up, and old shoes and clouded upon their feet, and old garments upon them. And all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy." We see at the first part of this chapter that the materials that this group was gathering up to take before Joshua was already old, was already moldy and dry, and was already rent or broken before they even departed. And if we look in verse number, I guess it is number 9, Joshua asked whence where they came from, and they said, "From a far country," which was also another line. If you look later, and I didn't read this far tonight, if you look later in the chapter, it just turns out that this group didn't come from very far. It was just another neighbor nearby. We look at verse number 22 in our scripture today, and Joshua found out that they had lied to him, and Joshua called for them, and she spake unto them, saying, "Wherefore have you beguiled us," or misled us is what that word means, "saying, We are very far from you when ye dwell among us." Listen, we understand the context of this scripture. We understand that this was a literal lie that they did not. And listen, I'm going to put this thought out here, or this phrase out here. You may be able to play the part, but your bread is still moldy. And listen, I'm going to get to a point today and I'm going to kind of take these few verses, but I don't want you to think I'm preaching something out of context, because I'm not tonight. I know who is sitting under the sound of my voice, and I would get persecuted if I preached something out of context. But I'm saying tonight, we understand in Joshua chapter number 9 that this group, they purposefully took old things. They purposely took old breads to make it look like they were on a longer journey so Joshua and them would accept them the way that they came. Well, we see anyways that they were, even though they lied, they were still under the jurisdiction of Joshua, we might say. But listen, before we go any further, you've got to understand that this was not what they actually did. Their bread was never hot. Their bread was never fresh. At one point way back when they cooked it, but it was moldy when they packed it up. Their shoes were old when they put them on. Their cup was already broken, or their bottle was already broken before they put them on. But by way of application tonight, I want to use these few verses. Let's just take the lie out of the way. And I want you to look at this few verses. Look at verse number 11 again. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, take victuals with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say unto them, we are your servants. Therefore now make ye a league with us. This our bread we took hot from our provision out of the houses of on the day we came forth to go unto you. But now, behold, it is dry, and it is moldy. And these bottles of wine which were filled were new, and behold, they be rent. And these are our garments, and our shoes are become old by reason of a very long journey. Tonight, if I could preach on a thought, tonight's title would be By Reason of a Very Long Journey. Like I said, we understand the context that this group of people that came before Joshua was lying through their teeth. We understand that they never had fresh bread when they left on their journey. We understand that they didn't put new Nike tennis shoes on when they left on their journey. We must understand that to understand the context of our Bibles. But by way of application, when I began reading through Joshua the other day, and I read through these two verses or three verses here, it hit me between the eyes about our Christian life. Sometimes we get into a place where our bread gets dry and moldy. Sometimes we get to a place where our bottle gets cracked and rent. Sometimes we get to a place where our shoes, the tread on our shoes gets slick, and we sometimes get weary and we can't walk anymore. But tonight I want to give you just a few thoughts that the Lord has placed on my heart. Listen, I've been in a pit before. I've been in a pit many a times in my life. And listen, you can ask Pastor Brian. A lot of people think that a preacher comes in on a throne or a cloud and doesn't have anything that goes wrong in his life. And he can vouch for what I'm about to say. That ain't true in the least bit. Listen, sometimes as a preacher, the devil will come at you and try to make you think. And I told Savannah, and if I'm lying, I'm dying. The second we got out of Sunday school this morning, I said, that was the worst Sunday school lesson I've ever taught in my life. But the Lord said, you're teaching it again tonight. But listen, I'm telling you today that sometimes when we go through life, our salvation and our relationship with God and our walk with God just doesn't seem as important as it once was. We see here that this group of people that came before Joshua, they didn't really think much of them lying. They were going to do it anyways. But listen, I want to give you just a few things tonight. And I'm going to hit it and run, and then I'm going to land the plane and be done. But we see, number one, the one thing that they give in this couple verses, that there's three items that they mentioned in our scripture, one being bread, one being bottle, and one being shoes and garments. Now, when we live in life, there's a lot of things that we could mention. There's a lot of things that we have in our lives. We have cars. We have houses. There's different things. And this is why I'm so thankful that the Bible is the living Word of God and the Lord points things out to us. But listen, on our daily life, sometimes we get to a point where our salvation gets dry and moldy. Now, there's people that's been saved in here less than a month. And I'm thankful that the Lord has saved you. There's been people who saved for 10, 5, 10 years. There's people in here that's been saved for almost 40 years or 50 years. But listen, there's something going around our churches nowadays. There's something that's sometimes, if we're not careful, we will let our salvation and we allow our salvation to get like a loaf of bread taken to the cabinet, thrown in the cabinet, and the cabinet door closed behind it, and we forget all about it, and the next time we need it, it's in there dry and moldy. Listen, we are so living in a day when we go to these churches or these new modernist churches. They don't push repentance. They don't push the relationship or separation or anything like that. They're trying to take Jesus out of our new versions of our Bibles. Let me tell you, it is by the blood of Jesus that any of us have hope of eternal life tonight. These songs that we sing in the choir, it is finished. We're in the Easter season. And listen, I'm telling you tonight, because the term was said in our Bibles, because the Bible tells us because of the blood of Jesus, and I said, it is finished. There ain't nothing we have to do. It is already finished for us tonight. But listen, when we look at our text, it says in verse number 12, it says, this our bread we took for our provision, took hot for our provision. You know, I remember the day that I got born again. And I'm sure I want you to take your imagination back or your memory back to the day you were born again. And I remember the day I got born again, I could remember God's people all around me rejoicing because God saved another soul. I remember the day that I got saved and the Lord, my mama was on her face crying and my daddy was on his face crying. And the Lord lifted a burden off of me and it felt like the elephant was lifted off of my shoulders and I was freed. I was delivered from the chains of bondage. And I remember that excitement. And listen, the salvation that we have, that we get from the Lord Jesus Christ, when we get saved, that excitement, Brother Matt, is a hot. It's hot. Listen, somebody was in here this morning with a leaf blower. I believe it was Brother Jamie. He come through that door and he started blowing the pulpit. Blowing it, get some oxygen, make it hot. And listen, we got one of the most fiery pastors you'll ever meet. This pulpit stays hot. But listen, when we get saved, it's something exciting, right? Salvation is not something that should be boring. Salvation is not something that we should take lightly. Salvation is something that is exciting and it is hot. Listen, I don't think you may not understand what I'm saying. Because of the blood of the Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross of Calvary, because of your sins and my sins, and because of the Son of God who came to this earth and bled and died and was beaten for your sins, you don't have to go to hell anymore. You tell me that's not boring. You tell me that shouldn't be exciting. You tell me that we shouldn't worship Him because of it. You know, I think of the term bread in the Bible. You know, in John chapter number 6 in our Bibles, we look at verse number 26 in John chapter number 6. The Bible says, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. You look down at verse number 32, it says, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. And for the bread from God is which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Verse number 34 says, then they said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Listen, I'm telling you tonight, when we go through our Bibles and we look at the bread that got dry and moldy in these people's life and the bread that we have that may have gotten dry and moldy in our life. Listen, son, let me tell you something tonight. That bread of life that the Lord gives us should never get dry and moldy. Listen, we are living in a time where Jesus is trying to be taken out of everything and every aspect of everything that we do. And I don't know about you, and if you're a born again child of God, that bread of life that you've taken and you've partaken of should do nothing but help you. It should do nothing but excite you. It should do nothing but give you unction to function. And listen, I'm telling you tonight, because of that bread of life, because of Jesus on the cross, because of the blood that He shed for me, you don't have to go to hell anymore. I think of Titus chapter number 3, verse number 5. It says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Verse number 6 says, which He shed on us abundantly. Listen, I don't know about you. I don't know where your heart's at. But when's the last time you've looked in the cabinet and seen if your bread was dry and moldy? Listen, I ain't a good preacher. I ain't worth nothing. But I tell you something that is worth something. It is that bread of life. Amen. And how often do we in our lives get to a place where we get our schedules busy and we go to work day in and day out and we just take that loaf of bread and stick it in our pocket or stick it in our glove box of our car and we forget all about what the Lord has done for us, but we only want to look at that bread. We only want to look at our salvation when we need something or we're in a valley or when whatever the case may be or something hits the fan. Let me tell you something, that bread should never get dry and moldy. When's the last time you've looked at the bread? Is it dry and moldy? Listen, I grew up poor. I grew up real poor. I know what it's like to eat a loaf bread on a hot dog. I know what it's like to go to the refrigerator and open a pack of turkey meat and there's green mold on it. Which that ain't have nothing to do with being poor. It's just forgetting about something. How many times have we went to the cabinet, pulled a loaf of bread out, and you went, hey, I want a sandwich, I'm hungry. I'm about to burn up, and I'm about fat, so I'm about to blow the back end of this coat out. Sometimes we get hungry, and I remember growing up, we'd have chores in our yard. My daddy would make us mow, or we'd eat, or whatever the case may be, and it'd be lunchtime, we'd go inside, and we'd go in there to make us a turkey sandwich or a bologna sandwich. You'd get in there and the bread had green mold all over it. Just throw the moldy pieces away and eat the good pieces. You know, that's how we do sometimes. The only time we use the bread of life is when we need something. The only time you ever want to talk to God is when you need something. The only time we ever want to pray, the only time we ever want to get on an altar is when the family problems or financial problems come or whatever the case may be. But listen, it ain't about your family problems all the time. It ain't about your financial problems all the time. It is about Him, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I don't know where your heart's at, but has your bread gotten dry and moldy? John chapter number 6, like I said, He is the bread of life. He is the bread of life, and it says, He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believeth not. All that the Father giveth me should come to me, and him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out. So listen, this ain't in my notes, and I'm just going to hit it, and I'm going to be done. You ain't got to worry about it. As long as you're focused on the bread of life, your needs will be taken care of. You may struggle a little bit here. You may be struggling in a family issue here. But the Bible clearly says that He will no wise cast you out. The Bible says that I've never seen the righteous forsaken or seed begging for bread. Listen, we don't need to be worried about the things that are around us. I think of Peter when Jesus told him to come out of the boat and walk on that sea. Listen, we are living in a time where it's wicked. Where everywhere we look, the school shootings or the car accidents or the drugs. Whatever the case may be, we're living in a time where sin is more prevalent and more open than it's ever been, I believe. And listen, we just need to focus on the bread of life. Amen. Number 2, if you look back in Joshua chapter number 9, verse number 12, it says, "This our bread we took hot for our provision. Out of our houses on the day we came forth to go unto you, but now behold, it is dry and moldy." Once your salvation, I remember the day we got saved, it was an exciting time. But now sometimes we allow our salvation to get dry and moldy. Verse number 13 says, "These bottles of wine which were filled were new, and behold, they be rent." Listen, number one, we need to check up on our bread of life. Is it dry and moldy? But number two, is our cup or our bottle broken? So what do you mean? The word rent in our Bibles means to tear or to crack. And listen, when we look at this Bible, they had our scripture here, they had bottles that they took with them. And like I said, the context of this is they were already broken. When they saddled up, they were already had cracks and holes, and they were busted up before they even left. They were trying to manipulate Joshua in the latter part of this chapter. But by way of application, these cups were broken. These bottles, as the Bible says, were broken. At some point, your vessel, when you became born again, became new. At some point, when you trusted Christ and you partook in the bread of life and you accepted the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we became new creatures according to the Word of God. If you look back, and I believe it is Jeremiah chapter number 17, it says that our hearts are desperately wicked. And then it also says, I guess you could look at, I think it's Ezekiel chapter number 18, that the Lord will give us a new heart when we get born again. If you look at Ephesians chapter number 2, the Bible says, "In you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." Before we were born again, we were dead. Before we were born again, our hearts were wicked. Listen, the hearts are still wicked because we are still in this flesh. But listen, when we become born again, we become a new creature. All things become new. So when we get born again, our temple of the Holy Ghost is a new temple and is a new vessel. But listen, where do we see in our text tonight that their bottles in this sense that they were new? The Bible says they were new. Like I said, you got to look at the context. They lied and this was not true, but this is application tonight. At some point, our vessels were new. I remember the day I got saved. Now, I said it was exciting. And like Pastor Brian says, most of all the best soul winners are the ones who've been saved in the last 2 years, I think it was. When you get born again, there's an excitement that fills us up. I remember when I got born again, I wanted to tell everybody. When I got born again, I wanted to get on an altar, and I couldn't help but cry tears of thankfulness, and I couldn't help but shout with voices of praise. Listen, I couldn't help but want to read my Bible and learn more. At one point, we were all completely full because of the excitement of God. But we see when they're throughout their journey, throughout this very, by reason of a very long journey, throughout our lives are referenced as a race in the Word of God. This is a race that we're running, and the Bible says that not all who run the race finish. But listen, throughout time, you're going to go through things. You may lose your job. You may lose a loved one. You may do this. And the storm is going to kick and blow and crash in your life. And if we're not careful, it'll crack us. As these bottles are in Joshua chapter number 9, we see that the bottles throughout their journey, throughout that journey, they allowed the bottles to get rent, which is cracked or torn. And you know what I was thinking when the Lord gave me this thought? We not only need to check up on our bread of life, we need to make sure our bread isn't dry and moldy, but we need to make sure our bottles ain't broken. Because did you know, me and Devin went and got some gasoline for the lawnmower the other day for the fire department, and that thing was miserable. We took a 5-gallon gas can down to Cutter's, and I understand the concept of it, but somebody took a darn little drill bit and drilled a hole through the back of that gas can so the air would release. Y'all know what that's for. Well, somebody put it down just a little bit too low. You know what happened? Gas started leaking. Gas started leaking out. And you know, if we're not careful, when we go through the troubles and the trials and the situations of our life and the discouraging and the depressing times of our life, we can allow it to crack us or punch holes through us, and the being filled with the Spirit of God will slowly start leaking out. And eventually it will become empty. You know, just the past couple weeks, some situations have happened at my job I don't appreciate. And if I'm not careful, it'll punch a hole in me. You may lose a friend or a loved one, and it may punch a hole through you. Like I said, I think of Peter on the ocean. He got his eyes off Jesus, and he allowed the storms to crash on him, and it made him sink. Everybody in here knows that if you're in a boat and you put a hole in it, you sink. And you know, we're living in a time where I've noticed it around churches. I don't know where your heart's at, but I've noticed it. People don't have any desire to come to the house of God anymore. You stand at a back door of a church and they're more worried about the football game than they are the house of God. Listen, and I'm not going to apologize for it, what I'm preaching. You go back into over here to a pew and people are conversation about the biggest fish that they caught. Or over here, how big of a buck that they shot this past season. Or, oh, the deer camera over here. Or, oh, the truck or the car. People have their minds on everything else but the house of God and but the bread of life, because of life that has just taken the minds of everyone and scattered them abroad everywhere, because the life has punched holes. And over time, slowly but surely, the Spirit of God has slowly drained out of us, and we've lost our excitement. We've lost our motivation. We've lost our want to. Listen, I remember the day when I was a kid and I would go to a camp meeting and I would see people on an altar weeping. I would see people running laps because they were filled with the Spirit of God. People have no desire anymore. Listen, we're living in a time where wickedness is very, very prevalent. And if we're not careful, we'll allow it to crack us and punch holes to us. I work with some people and I have to deal with cussing daily. And if I'm not careful, and I've heard stories of you're around cussing so much that you might eventually come up and slip up. I hadn't got that far yet, and I'm thankful for it. But if you're not careful, the negativity, the worldliness will start punching holes and cracking you and slamming you to a point where you start breaking apart, and all the once unction that you had to do things for the Lord slowly drained out of you, and you just come because you don't want people to think badly of you anymore. Listen, when's the last time you've put some Flex Seal on your cracks? When's the last time you've done an inspection? Listen, North Carolina is the dumbest state for inspections I've ever seen. You can't hardly, it takes you forever to get a car tagged in North Carolina. South Carolina, you could go get a darn bicycle and have it tagged as a darn 2008 F-150 you wanted to, because they don't do inspections. But listen, we are living in a time where it seems like the church is just, you know what it is because Christians have let the Spirit of God just drain out of them. They've allowed the circumstances to affect them. They've allowed work to take them out. And listen, if you have to work on Sunday, that's between you and God. I'll pray that God gives you a job where you don't have to work on Sundays. But listen, when we live in our lives, we need to make sure our bread don't get dry and moldy. When we're living our lives, we need to make sure our bottle or our vessel ain't cracked and broken. But number three, and I'm finished tonight, if you look at verse number 13, it says, "And these bottles of wine which we filled were new, and behold, they be rent. And these our garments and our shoes are become old by reason of a very long journey." Listen, when we go through our lives, like I said just a moment ago, and I repeat myself a lot sometimes on purpose, I want you to get it repetitive sometime. You'll remember it. And that's how we do like our play lines by memory. The only way you're going to memorize them is if you rehearse and you have a repetitiveness over those lines. But we see that we need to continuously check up on that bread of life, make sure it's not dry and moldy. But you know, we also need to be filled. What is that verse? Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Romans 5:5 says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in their hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. But yet we allow the world to break us and be in us, and being filled with the Spirit slowly leaks out, and we find ourselves being empty. I want you to turn over to Ruth chapter number 1. I wanted to preach solely out of Ruth tonight, but the Lord has kind of added it into this message tonight. When's the last time you thanked God that He is the bread of life? When's the last time you just fell on your face? You don't have any needs. It ain't about you. When's the last time you've got on an altar and just said, Lord, I'm thankful for You. I'm thankful that I'll never go hungry, because I've partaken of the bread of life. When's the last time you've examined your vessel? But if we look at Ruth chapter number 1, verse number 20, it says, and she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me, and I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? Now, the context of this, we understand this is Naomi and Ruth here. Naomi is Ruth's mother-in-law. We see that Naomi was going through a very hard time in chapter number 1. She lost her husband. She lost both of her sons in chapter number 1. But we see that she finally, after all that time of going through all that discouraging time, she came back to the place, to Bethlehem, where she was originally was. And she said, don't call me Naomi anymore, but call me Mara. You know what the word Naomi means? It means to be pleasant. You know what the word Mara means? Bitter. She allowed the discouraging times, the loss of her husband, the loss of her children, and the discouraging times of her life to punch holes in her. And it got to a point where she said, in verse number 21, it says, I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. She allowed the discouraging times to drain her. And if we're not careful, when we go through our life, we'll allow it to drain us. We'll be empty. We'll have no Spirit of God to use us, because we don't have enough desire. Amen. But number 3 tonight, the bread of life, being filled, our bottles filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We look at the garments and the shoes tonight. Bible reference, like I said a minute ago, the Bible references life to running that race. And life goes on, our feet get weary sometimes, and we get tempted to give up. Listen, as Pastor Brian said earlier, he has told me what he was saying. He has told me to cling to the good times, because there's going to be some challenges along the way. And sometimes those challenges... make me want to quit. Now, do you think in the 20-something years that Pastor Brian's been preaching, there's not been times he's wanted to throw in the towel? We're a hard group to deal with. We need to be thankful for our pastor. Amen.
Amen.
But throughout our lives, we get weary, and our shoes get slick. Our feet get sore. And sometimes we're just tempted to sit down. And sometimes when we sit down, we don't want to get back up. This in Joshua chapter number 9, we see that their bread was hot when they left. Their story, by the way, it was hot when they left. But when they got there, it was dry and moldy. We see that when their story told that when they left, their bottles were new and full. But when they got there, they were broken and empty. But when they left, their clothes were new and their shoes were new. But when they got there, Their shoes were old and worn out. Listen, I don't know where you're at tonight, but I said this in our Sunday school class this morning. Sometimes we get so busy working for the Lord that we forget to spend time with the Lord. And I've been there. I've been there this week. Me and Savannah run very hard. We're somewhere all the time, and it's very easy for us to just go through the motions. Here we go again. It's time for church. So I really don't want to go tonight. I'm tired. And we all get like that. We go through work on Wednesdays and we work all day, and it's sometimes tiring to try to pull ourselves to get here a little bit early, to get in those vans and crank them on and go pick up kids, bring them to church, sit through a service and go take the kids back home. Sometimes that stuff gets discouraging or makes us weary and worn out, and our shoes get old. I told this story this morning when I'm at work. There was a kind of a double-decker deck where we were treating bugs up high. I was by myself, and we have a certain pair of shoes that we're supposed to wear at work, and none of us wear them because they're the most ungodly things that you can buy. But I was treating, and the deck was about six stairs down. It was probably about that far of a drop, and I was over here treating, and I stepped back, and I fell backwards. And my sprayer went clean over, landed in the grass, and I landed on my back on that lower part of that deck. And I called my boss and I said, "Hey, listen, I fell." I said, "My sprayer cracked." He said, "Did you have your shoes on? Did you have your shoes on?" I said, "No." But you know, sometimes in our life, we wear those, our feet and our shoes, we get weary. Listen, do you think that our pastor hadn't gotten tired running hospitals? He loves it. You ask him, that's what God's called him to do. I've been in many hospitals. I've been in many churches. And that's what I love to do. That's what God's called me to do. I'm not complaining tonight at all. But you may be to a place where you've run, and you've run, and you've run, and now your shoes are slick, and they're worn out, and your feet hurt, and you're tempted to sit down and just take a break. But let me tell you, most of the time when you take a break, those breaks are permanent. We've seen people, and when we have our college prayer nights here, a lot of times when I've asked Jesse, he has our prayer list for us for our class. And one thing on that list is the ones who used to be here who aren't here anymore. Those people said, "Oh, it'll be all right for me to just take a break. It'll be all right because I'm tired. So I've been to church three or four times this week. I'm tired. I'm worn out. It'll be all right if I miss this one time." Next thing you know, it's one after another. And it's several years before you see them. You find out that you see them at the gas station, find out their families are split apart. Listen, I don't know where your heart's at tonight. But if you look at, I'm going to turn over to Matthew chapter number 11. Matthew chapter number 11 in our Bibles. And I'm going to read a verse for you. And then I'm going to be just about done. Like I said, I'm trying to hurry. The Bible says in Matthew chapter number 11, verse number 28, the Bible says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Verse number 29 says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." When we get weary, we need to look back and go, maybe, listen, when you start getting weary and you getting tempted to give up, and you're to a point where you're like, "Listen, I just can't do this anymore. It'll be all right if I just take a little bit of a break." When that time comes and you're saying, "Hey, I'm about done. I can't take this no more," maybe it's you need to go back to your kitchen cabinet, pull that open, and pull that loaf of bread out. And make sure it's not moldy. Listen, when we get to a place, it all goes back full circle from that getting weary or our bottles being broken. It all goes back to making sure your bread ain't dusty and moldy. Listen, we're living in a time where our children are growing up in a wicked day. And we are the example. And I've said this in our Sunday school class many a times. our kids, church, and the Lord will not only be as important to our kids as it is important to us. We go on and go on. We can, like I said, we don't understand the context of the verse, but we know that we must look towards the bread of life. We must make sure our bottles are full and sealed up properly. And we must make sure that our shoes got proper tread on them to continue running the race, the Christian race. But like I said, we go through times of discouragement. We go through all the different things. I'm going to give you two more scripture, and then we're going to be done. But the Bible says in John chapter number 15, verse number 11, it says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full." Listen, if you've gotten to a place where your bread is dry and moldy, or your vessel's got cracked up and holes in it, or you need a new pair of shoes, you know what it is? You've lost your joy. You know what joy is? There's a big difference between happiness and joy. When you look up the word happiness in the dictionary, we see that the happiness says that is being finding pleasure in good times. But you know what joy is? It is finding pleasure all the time. And listen, and when we go through our life, we need to make sure, we need to get back to the bread of life. We need to go back and say, "Lord, give me a new loaf of bread. Give me some fresh anointing from you," and say, "Give me my joy back and help it remain and make my joy full." You can also look at 1 Peter chapter number 1. This is one of my favorite passages in our Bibles. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 8, it says, "Whom having not seen, you love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." You know, I always think this, I heard my mom's motto is choose joy. That's what she's always said my whole life. And we've lived, grown up saying that. But you know, when I started studying the Bible, this is what I want you to see. These people here that were able to say we have joy unspeakable and full of glory. But I want you to look at verse number 9. It says, receiving the end of your faith. They were able to say that we have joy unspeakable and full of glory to the end of their faith. I don't know where your heart is at. I don't know how far you are from the edge. I don't know if your bread is dry and moldy. I don't know if your cup is cracked and leaking. I don't know if your shoes are old and need new shoes. But listen, I'm telling you tonight, if you just get back to the bread of life and you start looking towards Jesus and start thanking Him for what He's done and start praising Him for what He's done, He will fix it and give you joy unspeakable and full of glory to the end of your faith. To the end of your faith. These people had joy unspeakable to the end of their faith. It's hard. It is. But joy is a choice. You have to choose joy. But listen, Savannah's coming to the piano tonight. You can close your Bibles. But we're living in a day where we're busy. I've never seen a more busy society than we do today. You call someone, you may need something, and they're, "Oh, give me this amount of time. I'm in the middle of something," or "I'm doing this," or your jobs, the people are trying to get the most amount of work for the least amount of money. It's just the way it works nowadays. But if we ever get to a point where we say, "Hey, where did I put that loaf of bread?" I preached on our winter challenge in our college and career devotion, a sermon on entitled "Calvary in the Shadow of Our Mind." Next week is Easter, and Jesus died on the cross. It's going to be a perfect demonstration next week of what happened at Calvary. When's the last time Calvary has crossed your mind? When's the last time you've just said, "Lord, I have needs, I have wants, I'm discouraged, but I just want to speak to you and thank you. I don't want my bread to be old and dusty and dry. I want it to be hot and fresh. I don't care if you've been saved for 30 years, your salvation still needs to be hot and fresh." And if it ain't, you need to find a place at an altar and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I forgot about you. You realize that that bread of life, you're keeping from going hungry. You're keeping from going thirsty. And we just throw it to the back. We've lost our excitement. The Lord may have brought you through something. Cancer. Job loss. Family loss. And you came out on the other end stronger. But yet you still, your bread is still dry and moldy. You may be discouraged. You may be going through the storms of life and you've allowed, it's like a darn wrecking ball when it hits a thing of concrete. It just throws a crack down it and all of a sudden your unction just starts seeping out. And now you're empty. Pastor Brian preached on those gates and that valley gate. You got to get emptied out. Or the dung gate. Or your shoes, you may be tired and you may be to a point where you say, hey, listen, I'm done. I just need to take a break. I'll be back 2 weeks or 3 weeks from now. Just get on the altar and ask God to give you some new shoes. Amen. Listen, I've given you, listen, I taught some of this morning, and I don't apologize for preaching again because I want you to have God's message. But as we stand all over the house tonight with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, where's your heart at? Is the salvation that the Lord gave to you, died on the cross for you, bled and was beaten and died for you, is that salvation just dry and moldy sitting in the cabinet? Or is it still as exciting now as it once was? Listen, I'm done. The altar's open. Savannah's going to sing if you need to come pray. But like I said,
hello, friends. This is Brian Poindexter, the pastor of Faith Community Baptist Church, located at 2216 Hennings Road in East Bend, North Carolina. We're so grateful to have you listening to our CD ministry that's been provided as an outreach of our church. It's our desire and focus at Faith Community Baptist Church to preach and teach the whole counsel of God to a lost and dying world, to equip the saints of God for service, and to encourage the elderly and shut-ins who cannot attend services due to physical ailments. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday school for all ages, and our Sunday school hour is followed by our worship service at 11 a.m. with old-fashioned singing and preaching from the Word of God. We meet back every Sunday night at 6 p.m. for our worship service, and every second Sunday night of each month we have what's called an eat-and-meet service. After our 6 p.m. service, we gather in the fellowship hall for food and fellowship. On Wednesdays, we meet back at the church for our midweek worship service with choir singing and preaching again from God's holy word. Our ladies prepare a meal each Wednesday prior to our service from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. I give you and your family a cordial invitation to be with us at any or all of our service times. Above all, you may be listening today, and maybe you've never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, that's the greatest decision anyone can ever make in this life. Too many folks prepare for vacation, they prepare for retirement, they seem to prepare for everything, but sad to say, many make no preparations for eternity. The reality is very clear. We all will leave this world someday, for the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. You must understand that you are guilty before a holy God. Romans 3:23 said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 53 and verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You must understand that your good words, good works, and good deeds will not get you to heaven. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible said, therefore by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. You must understand that you're loved. I'm thankful that in John 3 and verse 16, it said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 5 and verse 8 declares, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You must understand and realize there's only one way to stand right before God. There's not many ways. There's only one. Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 6, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the apostles' message was very simple. There in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, they said, Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You might ask the question, Preacher, how can I be saved? That's what the Philippian jailer asked in Acts chapter 16 and verse 30 and 31. He asked Paul and Silas, he said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Romans 10:9 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must ask God to save you. I can't do it. No one can do it for you. Romans 10:13 said, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you know you're a sinner, and if you're sorry for your sin, and you believe Jesus died for your sins, you simply have to ask him to save you. You might say, Preacher, how can I know for sure God will hear me? But first of all, the Bible tells us that we must be drawn. John 6 and verse 44, Jesus said, No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Psalm 51 and verse 17 gives us the attitude we need to have when we come to God. It said there, The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. If God draws you by conviction, and if you're sorry for your sin, you repent of them. If you believe Jesus died for your sins, and if you asked him to save you, then the Bible declares you've been saved. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you've been forgiven of all your sin. Romans 8:1 declares, There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Once a person has been saved, they need to be a part of a fundamental Bible-believing church where they can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. God calls us out of darkness and commands us to walk in light after we've been saved by His marvelous grace. If we can help you here at Faith Community Baptist Church in any way, feel free to contact us. If you have asked God to save you, please contact us, and we will send you some free literature to help you in your newfound life in Christ. Thank you again for listening to our CD ministry that's been provided by our church here, and may God richly bless you and your family is our prayer.